Greetings. Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. I'm Dave Gloetz, here with Ben Jarofsky.
I'm down with that.
We're talking about your article titled, Fighting for the Right to Fire Bad Teachers and Good Ones Too, that appeared in the Reader on September 27, 2012. This article talks of the firing of a gym teacher, David Corral, from UNO's Garcia High School, UNO being a charter school network in Chicago. And you talk about the circumstances that led up to his firing, which included reporting an alleged sexual assault of a student in a locker room.
A mock sexual assault. I guess it should be alleged sexual assault.
So it could be both, right?
Yes.
An alleged mock.
Yes.
Because it hasn't been prosecuted.
I don't think there's any, like, it's like alleged because he owned up to it.
Let's jump to the end of this story, or the end of it as it currently sits.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Corral has sued for back pay and damages, but Mr. Corral's contract with UNO says he can be fired, quote, for no reason with or without prior notice, end quote. Given that provision, have you any idea what legal basis his lawsuit has?
Yes, I do know this. I consumed precious brain cells learning that, and I've pretty much forgotten it. It has to do with federal law regulating the reporting of sexual abuse. Right now, UNO, the charter school's lawyers, are trying to dismiss the case on the grounds that what occurred does not fit the definition of sexual abuse.
Mock.
Yeah. Personally, though I am no attorney.
So you play one on the podcast.
Yes, I play one on the podcast. That's correct. And I do zoning work. I believe the federal judge will rule against UNO and that a trial will occur. But that's just my opinion. So I could be wrong. I was wrong about the teacher strike, as you know.
We won't go there.
Yeah.
Does he want his job back?
I don't know. You know, it's a good question. At one point he did, but I don't believe he does anymore. I mean, it sounds like a wretched place to work.
People getting mock raped.
Yeah. You know, kids mock raping each other in the bathroom, and then they fire the teacher who had absolutely nothing to do with it and couldn't have prevented it under any circumstances. Don't give the guy a hearing. I mean, it really does not do well for charter schools as a whole, and UNO in particular. So I don't know why he would want to go, but I don't know. He's not employed at the moment, so maybe, you know, desperate times require desperate things.
In June of 2011, you wrote about the efforts of teachers at the Chicago Math and Science Academy, which is a charter school, to unionize, which at that point wasn't yet successful. And since then, the Illinois Employment Labor Relations Board has certified union representation at the Chicago.
At that school?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
CMSA.
Thanks for, wow, yeah. Good. That's good reporting.
Here's another thing you might not know. Guess how many charter schools in Chicago have been unionized?
10.
You're very close. The number is 14.
I just took a wild guess.
That's really good. Well, you know, you are kind of working on this stuff, right?
Yeah.
You are steeped in it.
Actually, in my defense, though it's a feeble defense, the reason I said 10 with such conviction is I believe at some point there were 10 and it was mentioned in an article. But nonetheless, here we go.
So
wow.
Here's a list.
Can I just show it to the reader? It's a white piece of paper.
There is an affiliate of the American Federation of Teachers, of which the Chicago Teachers Union is one, that has a local, was it 4343? And it's called the
Alliance of Charter Teachers and Staff.
And that's the union that has organized all 14 of these schools.
That is great.
So we have 3 in the Civitas Schools Network. We have 4 in the Aspira of Illinois Schools Network, and then a smattering of others. At several schools, this union, ACTS, won a 3-year contract with due process language. And let's see what that due process language says. Following a teacher's first year, he or she will have the due process rights based on just cause for discipline and discharge decisions. There will also be binding arbitration for grievances. It sounds like under such agreement, going back to your article, Mr. Corral would have had due process. Do you have any knowledge of what other schools might have significant organizing underway?
I know that there's an effort underway to organize them because I'm getting calls from union activists who want me to write about it. So when I did that first story, whatever it was, 2011. I talked to the activists, the organizers for this alliance. Actually, months ago, the Haugen people reached out to me, Haugen Middle School.
That's one of the Aspirak schools.
That is correct, Senator. They were not at that time organized yet.
The teachers reached out to you?
Yeah, they wanted me to write an article about their organizing efforts. So yeah, this is something I want to look into eventually down the road. As I say many times, let's organize these charter schools. Then we can lose this phony distinction, which is the subject of next week's story, so I don't want to get ahead of it.
Teaser.
I'm a little surprised by the inclusion of the Chicago Math and Science Academy. Are you certain that is currently a unionized school, or did they just win a right to be unionized?
The latter. I don't believe they have the contract yet. But as you might remember from your article last year, the charter school was trying to say that the state did not have jurisdiction because they were not technically a public school.
Yes.
So they went to the National Labor Relations Board, and the National Labor Relations Board denied their motion and kicked it back to the state agency, which then certified that, yes, they can organize.
Good for them.
I took a look at the sort of contracts that ACTS has with charter schools in Chicago. And according to their website, all the charter schools that have contracts, ACTS contracts, have no strike provisions. Any reaction to that?
When you say they have no strike provisions?
They cannot strike.
Oh, they're not allowed to strike?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of a wimp about strikes, as we know. We've discussed this. I don't really like conflict. It's really weird because my whole life is in conflict with people, but I always get nervous when there is conflict. I'm not that far removed from the nervous Nelly liberals that I made fun of in one of my recent columns, although I'm really not as wimpy as they are. There's a gradations of wimpiness on this thing. I'm really proud of the teachers union for what they accomplished in this last go-around with Mayor Rahm, who's such a bully and so autocratic. I think that they only gained what they got by striking. I think it's naive and foolish to believe that powerful autocrats will relinquish anything of significance in negotiations unless the strike card is played. So I think that teachers in the real world need a strike in order to win what they want. I'd like to believe, I hope I don't sound too naive, that single schools, as opposed to whole districts of dozens and dozens of schools, single schools, which are more like a family, I like to think that single schools can work things out, so a strike would not be necessary. I like to distinguish between a small school, one single school, or two or three, and a larger district. It gets more complicated when you get to some of the larger networks of charter schools.
Like UNO.
So if you organize a whole UNO network or CICS network, then it's more problematic, I think, because it's not so familiar.
Why is it more problematic?
Because, again, the notion is that if there's a large, more impersonal network of schools, like we have in Chicago Public Schools, where there's literally hundreds of schools administered by a board of education, that it's very impersonal. They don't know the teachers. There's not like that close relationship. I think a strike is necessary to ultimately force them to pay attention to do the right thing.
If the union, in this case ACTS, is negotiating with a single school that's not part of a network, arguably the management has more familiarity with the people who are trying to organize and less likely to hold them at arm's length.
Exactly. And I'm trying to draw a distinction between two different systems. I don't want to assume that every system is the same. So I think that if you're dealing with one or two schools, then the no-strike provision makes sense. I still don't know if I would want it in the contract, but, you know, apparently they felt that was what they had to agree to get any contract, and so they agreed to it. Now, if you ask me about no strikes with police and firefighters, I've had this discussion with all my police friends. I don't think police should have the right to strike. It's far too important to public safety that they be on the job. But now look at the police. The mayor hasn't. How long has it been since their contract expired?
Year and a half.
Well, whatever it's been, it's clear if you don't have the right to strike, then the city doesn't take serious your rights of collective bargaining, which proves the point I began by making. So like many people in the universe and in Chicago, I'm really confused and uncertain on this issue about striking. But I'll repeat what I started by saying. Without a strike, the Chicago public school teachers would not have won the gains that they won.
So based on your thinking, it seems more likely than the charter schools in Chicago, the first ones to be organized, would be the ones that are not in a network.
Well, some of these are in a network. Like CSCS, yes. These three schools that you have up here are part of a larger network.
Civitas.
Yeah. I don't know if the union, I want to call the union and ask, is this just individual contracts with these individual schools?
No, in fact, I did read a press release where they got one contract with these three schools.
Okay.
Not the whole network. So it's interesting. Yeah. They carved out a piece of the network.
There you go. And see, so it's a very complicated thing when you organize your charter schools. Like you said, you can either organize an individual charter school, you can organize charter schools within a network, or you can organize the entire network of charter schools. Or maybe you can go one step further and organize one contract with all the charter schools in Chicago, which would be a huge fight, probably would never happen. But systematically, one by one, I think that's the approach they're taking school by school. And ultimately, there's going to be a standoff on the issue when the unions go after some of the big networks like UNO. I feel that right now, UNO, which is the school I wrote about, is far too unbalanced in the relationship between the administrators and the teachers. The teachers don't have nearly as much control, power, rights, respect that they should have. That's an unhealthy workplace, in my opinion. It's not a workable environment. And you're going to have a huge teacher turnover. That's not what we need. We want to attract people to come to Chicago, to stay here, to develop their skills as teachers. That's me speaking in the abstract as the idealist. The model that we seem to be developing is one in which teachers are treated as like at-will employees who have no say, who are supposed to be in the backdrop. They're treated almost as children. So it's dispiriting, it's demeaning, and it's not a workable model for a big city education system. It's certainly not a workable model if you're serious about transforming children from low-income areas into middle-class or upper-class citizens, which is supposedly what this is all about. I just think it's a model where you get essentially all it does is divert money from union schools into non-union charters, with the only benefit being that you destroy the union. And I don't see that as a real benefit to people in Chicago.
I am curious, and we don't know the answer, but just curious to speculate how in this Civitas network, how they carved out those three, which aren't even close to each other.
You have me curious. Some investigation will be done. Organizing charter schools will not be an easy thing. As we saw when I wrote about Chicago Math and Science, the opposition was so fierce, and it was so misguided, in my opinion. You know, once the teachers had announced that this is what they wanted, then I believe an enlightened leadership would have said, okay, let's negotiate a contract that benefits us all. Instead, they doubled down on trying to destroy the organizing attempt. They fired a teacher. Remember, she was pregnant. She won a settlement, so they lost money. They've been wasting money on lawyers fighting this thing. They've made ridiculous arguments to try to undercut the organizing effort. They've just made fools of themselves. I don't know how you could argue that this strenuous legal battle is in the best interest of children. I've heard the argument, well, some people personally don't like unions. Well, you live in a city that's a very union town. If you don't like unions, maybe you shouldn't live in Chicago. It's sort of like arguing the people who move next to Wrigley Field don't like loud baseball parks. Why did you move there?
Or the O'Hare flight
plan. Yeah, the O'Hare flight. I just don't find it convincing. You don't like unions, and why did you come to Chicago? You know, why do you live in America, for that matter?
Why do you hate freedom?
Yes, why do you hate? Go to China if you don't like unions.
On that note, Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear more of our broadcasts, go to MrRadio.org, where you'll find instructions on how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any of our interviews. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.